Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will sing together from Psalter 394, the first and the third stanza. I will extol thee, O my God, and praise thee, O my King. Yea, every day and evermore thy praises I will sing. Great is the Lord, our mighty God, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable, above all glory raised. We mentioned to you Psalter 394, stanza 1 and 3. Scripture reading for this morning, you can find in the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, the first 20 verses. We mentioned to you Luke chapter 2. But before we will read from the Confession of Faith, Article 18, which you can find on page 13 in the back of your Psalter. Article 18, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We confess, therefore, that God did fulfill the promise which he had made to the fathers by the mouth of his holy prophets, when he sent into the world, at the time appointed by him, his own only beloved and eternal Son, who took upon him the form of a servant and became like unto man, really assuming the true human nature with all its infirmities, sin excepted, being conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Ghost without the means of man, and did not only assume human nature as to the body, but also a true human soul, that he might be a real man. For since the soul was lost as well as the body, it was necessary that he should take both upon him to save both. Therefore we confess, in opposition to the heresy of the Anabaptists, who deny that Christ assumed human flesh of his mother, that Christ is become a partaker of the flesh and blood of the children, that he is a fruit of the loins of David after the flesh, made of the seed of David according to the flesh, a fruit of the womb of the Virgin Mary, made of a woman, a branch of David, a shoot of the root of Jesse, sprung from the tribe of Judah, descended from the Jews according to the flesh of the seed of Abraham, since he took on him the seed of Abraham, and became like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted, so that in truth he is our Emmanuel, that is to say, God with us. We mentioned to you Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing among us this morning. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created us in thy image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, and thou could look upon creation and say it was very good, but Lord, we have rebelled against thee. Through our covenant head Adam, we have turned our backs to thee, never to return. And now in this morning, on this day, as we have heard from thy word, and as we have gathered in thy house to remember the gift, that unspeakable gift of thy Son, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we ask thee then, that this history, as we have heard and read from thy word, is well known unto us. We all know in our minds, we've all been taught, we've heard it for many years, some more, some less, that on Christmas, this day, we remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Word became flesh, that God sent his only begotten Son. But we ask thee, Lord, we beg thee, that it would not only be a history, not only a story, but that it may become a true wonder, that we may be given eyes to see the wonder of Christmas, minds to understand a little something of it, and hearts to receive it, and that our hearts may be by thy grace and by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, like those angels that sang glory to God in the highest, that we may be like those shepherds that heard the news and that made haste to seek, and they found that babe and they worshipped him and they glorified thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then work mightily, irresistibly by thy word and spirit, and that that outward call may become internal, that we may hear it, and that it may be accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that dead sinners may become alive, and that they may see their urgent need for a Savior, that they may begin to see how suitable he is, and that he may become precious unto them. O Lord, wilt thou make room in our hearts then? Teach us and show us how sinful we are, how rebellious we are, how wicked we are, how guilty and lost and hopeless and helpless we are in self, and that thou hast the right to demand thy image back as thou hast created us. And teach us, Lord, in self, we can never, ever fulfill the demands anymore, that guilty sinners may become guilty, and that guilty sinners may become lost in self and do not know the way no more, and that cry out, what must I do to be saved? And that they may hear the Christmas message that the angels proclaimed, and that that good news may truly become the most precious news for our souls this morning. But Lord, remember also thy people. We have gathered together in thy house as a congregation, but thou knowest also their hearts, the little lambs and the sheep, each one of them, how it can also be so cold, so hard again. Oh, wilt thou come with thy spirit then and break those hearts again by thy love, by thy mercy, by thy grace, and that there may then not only be a hearing of the word, but also that responding unto thee of that true awe, of that true worship, of that true glory glory to God in the highest. Lord, we ask thee first for thy honor, for thy glory. Thou art so worthy that all of us would be bowing in the dust before thee, confessing our sins, but also looking up unto thee, adoring thee, worshiping thee. And Lord, we confess we have nothing of this of self, only by thy grace. And we are dependent also upon thy grace. We need thy grace to renew us, but also each time, every day again, to keep us, to preserve us. Oh, we beg thee then, come with thy Holy Spirit, that there may be life, and that there may be faith and true repentance, but also the faith of thy people may be given to be an exercise, that they may through thy word and by thy grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit see that babe that was born and laid in a manger. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then have mercy upon us. We are undeserving. We send everything away, but may we ask it because of him who came into this world, who was very God, but also very man, with a body and a soul, that only mediator who came to fulfill the law for transgressors, but also who came, who was given a body, so that he could also suffer and die to satisfy thy law and to satisfy thy justice. Oh, show us our great need of him, and reveal who he is unto us, and that our hearts may be drawn unto thee. Lord, thou knowest each one here and how it is with our soul, whether we are still dead in sins and trespasses, or whether by thy grace we have been made alive. Oh, we beg thee, visit each one of us, give life, and give also that thy people may be edified in that most holy and precious faith that looks outside of self and that looks unto thee, that triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we beg thee upon thy own promise that thou hast given in thy word. Thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then, for thy presence, for thy work, for thy grace, for thy Holy Spirit. Lord, without it, it's all form, it's all custom, and we will go home with our hearts only harder. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then, thou art the Almighty One. Thou art that merciful and gracious One who can do above all that we can think and ask. Help also the children to listen, and that they may understand. Help thy servant to preach, and that it's simple, and that it's the truth, and according to the meaning of the Spirit. Help each to listen. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances, all the distractions, and give us a good hour in thy house, under thy favor, with thy presence, Lord. And that we may say it was good to be here because the Lord was with us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give us a truly blessed Christmas, that we may rejoice in thee, in that precious gospel news of that born Savior, of him who came to stand in that place of lost, guilty, corrupt sinners, unrighteous ones, and those who have nothing to pay. Oh, we beg thee then, give opening to preach, opening to hear. Lord, come, rend the heavens, and come among us today. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember all those who are mourning. Comfort them. Thou art the God of all comfort. Remember all those who are sick and afflicted with needs for their bodies or for their minds. Lord, bless the means they may use and give them health, and sanctify these callings that come unto us. Remember those who had a desire to gather with us, but for various reasons were unable to gather in thy house with thy people. Lord, bless the means that they may have, whether they may read thy word or listen along. Thou art not bound to time or to place. Thou art the Almighty, every present Lord God of heaven and earth. Lord, give them, where they may be, a blessing. Remember also those in our families who have left the truth, who are living in the world, and who may celebrate Christmas, but only in a very worldly way, with no hunger, no thirst, no need for the Savior. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, bring them back under thy word, under thy truth, and bring them especially, Lord, with thy grace, as lost sinners at thy feet. But, Lord, we all need it, whether we faithfully attend or whether we never come to church. We need thy grace. We need to be born again. We need to be drawn unto thee, to come to true repentance of all our sins, but also to true faith in that only Savior of whom we hope to hear and have heard from thy precious word. Lord, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, and that thy name may be glorified, that sinners would be born again, and that thy people may be instructed, may be comforted, may be edified in that precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help all thy servants throughout this world, in the established churches, but also on the mission field, among Jew and Gentile. Lord, that thy kingdom may come, that thy name may be glorified. And Lord, thou hast said that thou hast more sheep to gather in. Wilt thou then gather in thy dear beloved sheep among us, in our denomination, in this nation, among Jew, among Gentile, but also, Lord, we ask thee, bless thy word also today in Bolivia. Help the church workers. Help thy servant, Pastor Marco, and the elders, that thy word also may be richly blessed there. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Lord, we are unworthy. We're sinful. We're polluted. Thou could rightly pass us by, but Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy and give an ear to hear, give a mouth to speak, and work mightily. Oh, we beg thee in the forgiveness of our many sins, and may we ask it upon that righteousness and the blood of that precious Savior who was born, who humbled himself and came to this world to seek and to save lost sinners. For his name alone, amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 263, all three stanzas. Unto God our Savior sing a joyful song. Wondrous are his doings, for his arm is strong. He hath brought salvation, he hath made it known, and before the nations is his justice shown. Psalter 263, all three stanzas. And the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the school. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, children, whose birth do we remember today? Today we remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know exactly which day he was born, and yet his birth is worthy that we set a day aside to remember such a significant, fundamental point of hope and of the Christian faith. Have you ever thought, what if the Lord Jesus Christ did not come? What if the Lord Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh? What would be the consequences? There would be no hope. There would be no need to preach. There would be no gospel. There would be no salvation. If the Lord Jesus Christ did not come, if he was not born, if those prophecies of the Messiah was not fulfilled, then God would not be glorified. There would be no peace on earth, and there would be no goodwill toward men. The angels would not have sung a song as we read in Luke 2 verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Children, where was the Lord Jesus Christ born? You say in Bethlehem. Where did his mother put this baby, this little precious baby? Where did they put him? They put him in a manger, as we read in this chapter. Remember, there was no room in that inn. But dear friends, by nature, our hearts are like the inn. By nature, we may hear Christmas story. We may hear the history that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. But by nature, there's no room in our hearts. However, by God's grace, irresistible grace, and free and sovereign grace, sinners are born again. They learn who they are. But they also begin to hunger, to thirst. They begin to seek that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They find him by his grace, and they want to see him again, and they want to see more and more. And if it's well, they grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a picture of the inn? Or are you a picture of this manger? Is your heart like the inn, no room for the Savior? Or is your heart like the manger? Think about this for a moment, congregation. There was no room in that nice, clean inn. And that's who we are by nature. By nature, we think we have a nice, clean heart. We're good people. Good, faithful church attenders. Good members of a denomination that we say has the truth. But is there room in your heart? Has God, by his grace, made room that you became a lost, guilty sinner? For the self-righteous ones, those who think they're clean, there's no room for the Savior. They're satisfied with self. Or those who only care to live for the world, they're both dead. The Pharisee and the publican, or the prodigal, both dead, no room. But think the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't born in a clean inn, but he was born and put in a dirty manger. That already has a message for us, that the Almighty Holy One was so willing to humble himself so low to come to this earth, but even so low to be put in a dirty manger. What does that tell us? That tells us that he's willing also to dwell in dirty hearts. That's hope for you, my friend. Hope, because he's willing to dwell by his Spirit in filthy hearts. Is that who you are? This is amazing Christ, amazing grace. On the day, on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, in that field, there were shepherds. There were shepherds outside of Bethlehem. And these shepherds were caring for their sheep. And what happened when they were caring for the sheep? Suddenly, a messenger of God came and a brilliant light shone. God sent an angel to tell these shepherds the message of the birth of his son. We read in Luke 2, verse 9, "And lo, the angel Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." A little knowledge, a little appearance, so to speak, of the glory, of the splendor of God, which we may see today through the word of God, will cause a sinner to stand in awe, fear, amazement. And these shepherds respond in awe, in fear, in amazement. They saw the glory of God when the angel came with a message. And the angels then said, "Fear not." And they proclaim a very precious message, which we read in verse 10 through 12. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The angel announces the birth of God's son. Remember, children? An angel told Mary she would have a son. And now this son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born. And he brings the message to the shepherds. In our worship services, God speaks to all of us through the word. And there's a response. There should be a response. And what is the response? We sing. We sing in response. That's what singing should be. It's part of the worship service. We hear what God has to say to us, and we should respond in singing. And that can include a multitude of different things. Singing is part of the worship. Now, in the fields by the shepherds, there's a great, glorious response to this message that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. A choir, a beautiful, splendid, most perfect, glorious choir that no church on this earth has. They began to sing. Suddenly the heaven opened and thousands of angels begin to sing. They begin to sing what we read in Luke 2 verse 13 and 14. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Approximately 4,000 years earlier, there was the first promise that the Messiah would come. And about 2,000 years from this ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And there's joy when a baby is born, especially as parents. Maybe some of you know this. Maybe you waited for a long time to have a child, and finally you receive a child. There's joy. But now imagine, humanly speaking, in heaven, that fulfillment of the promise that Jesus Christ was born, that God was in the flesh born, given that Messiah upon the fulfillment of God. And the heavens open, and there's joy. The splendid choir begins to gloriously sing to the praise of God. We read an interesting verse in Hebrews 1, verse 6. And again, "When he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." And so in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angels rejoice and sing. They were praising God and Jesus Christ. What a choir. What a doxology. And so our text for this morning is that song of the angels. Luke 2, verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What is the purpose of this song, congregation? Well, first, it's for the glory of God. But it also was a message for the shepherds, and it's also a message for you and me today. And my prayer is that the Lord would bless this message, this song, to your heart and to your soul, and that there would also be this doxology in your heart, by God's grace, because that is a true Christmas. So let us together take a closer look at the song of the angels. And this is what we will meditate on this morning, on Christmas morning. So the theme is the birth of Jesus Christ and the song of the angels. There's three things in this song that the Lord is teaching us. Three things he wants us to know in the birth, in connection with the birth of his son. First, the glory of God. Glory to God in the highest. Second, peace to men, and on earth peace. And thirdly, the love of God, goodwill toward men. And so the birth of Jesus Christ and the song of the angels. First, it teaches us about the glory of God. The angels began to sing. Those thousands and thousands of angels. And they began their song singing, glory to God in the highest. What is the Lord telling us? You and me, on this Christmas morning, through the song of the angels, what is the purpose of everything, congregation? What is the purpose you were created? What is the purpose that you are recreated? What is the purpose of everything in the whole world? What was the purpose of God sending his son? What was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh? What is the purpose of absolutely everything? The glory of God. Paul knew this, and he wrote this in Romans 11, verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him, to whom be glory forever. Amen. God is full of glory. His glory radiates in the heavens. Think of John, what he saw in the vision, what we read in Revelation 4 verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto emerald. John saw nothing but radiant glory in heaven, because that's where God dwelt. Glory to God in the highest. The angels are looking down. They're looking down into that manger. They see the Lord Jesus Christ in the manger. They see God in the flesh. They see the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity. The one who is very God and very man, with a real body and a real human soul. And the angels, humanly speaking, begin to understand what is taking place. They look into that manger and they see that it's the works of God. They begin to understand what God is doing, humanly speaking. They see God has sent his own son into the world to seek and to save hell-worthy, guilty, lost sinners. The angels saw the wonderful works of God. And upon this, the heavens opened and all those angels begin to sing, glory to God in the highest. The angels were moved in their being by what God was doing, we could say, on Christmas morning. They were celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ in the most excellent way, the most perfect way, the way you and I should also be celebrating Christmas. They knew that God, by giving his son and by Jesus coming into the world, proclaims one message: glory to God in the highest. While meditating on the birth of Jesus Christ, have you ever sung this phrase? Has your heart ever echoed this most correct and perfect phrase on Christmas or any other day, thinking on the birth of God giving his son for such rebels? Have you ever sung in your heart, glory, glory to God in the highest? What does the birth of Jesus Christ teach us about the glory of God? God displays his glory by taking upon him the human nature. What do we read in John 1, verse 14? And the Word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My friends, look in the manger this morning. Look in the manger of God's Word. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit and by God's grace, you may truly see him. Not that you would only hear it and that it's a story, but it becomes real, an urgency, and that you may seek, but also that you may find, and that your heart would echo glory to God in the highest. God in the flesh, that infinite holy being, that highest majesty in heaven in the flesh. The Prince of Glory became a baby in the manger. The infinite came to earth. He who created man in his image was created in the image of man. The invisible God that no man can see. You may not behold his glory, because to see him you will die. But he, who no man could see, became visible, came to the earth. He came in the flesh, born in Bethlehem, born in that manger. Listen to what we read in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The angels were filled with the glory of this revelation, and they sang with their whole being perfectly, glory to God in the highest. But also they looked upon this babe in the manger, and they saw something of the glory of the attributes of God. Think especially of his great mercy. They saw that it was a great mercy and of grace that God sent his Son into the world, his Son to seek and to save rebels, sinners. He sent him into a world of sin and iniquity to live among sin and rebels. No, God did not come into this world to save good ones, to save faithful ones. No, he came into this world to save rebels, wicked ones. He did not come to save spiritually sick people, but he came to save spiritually dead people, hopeless ones, helpless ones. He came to save those who turned away from God and who would never ever turn back again of their own will. Those who had no desire and no ability to ever seek or to be reconciled with God. God sent his Son, and the angels saw it. They glorified his attribute of mercy. What mercy! Glory to God in the highest. Jesus Christ came to save those who were created to only live for the glory of God every day, and that was to be their joy. But they corrupted himself, they rebelled, they are totally depraved, and they only glory in self. God, who is infinite holy, and who cannot even look on one little tiny sin, came into this world full of sin. God, who is offended with sin, came in the flesh to seek and to save sinners. What love, congregation. What mercy. What grace. Our hearts should be radiating like those angels this morning. Glory to God in the highest. How can this be? The angels were overwhelmed. Humanly speaking, they were overwhelmed. How could this be? Those angels, children, teenagers, you know, the tabernacle, there was the holies and there was the holies of holies. And in the holies of holies was the ark of God. And those on both sides of the ark was two cherubims, two angels, you could say. And they looked down on the mercy seat. As you read in Exodus 25, verse 20, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. But now from heaven, the angels are looking down on the wonderful works of God. They're looking upon the very essence of mercy. Mercy. God's Son is a message of mercy for those sinners who only deserve wrath, who only deserve condemnation, who only deserve to forever be sent away. They see mercy. They see God in the flesh. They see mercy. A sight of the mercy causes the fields of Bethlehem to be filled with a radiant echo of a song, "Glory to God in the highest." My friend, how is it with your heart this morning? How is it with my heart? Does my heart this morning wake up with this echo? Is that with your heart? You echo, "Glory to God in the highest." And unconverted friends, you have nothing of this. You're guilty. But God's people, how is it with our hearts? Our hearts all should be like the angels. All the promises of the gospel are based on the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And for Jesus Christ to fulfill that whole plan of salvation, he had to come in the flesh. The humble birth of Jesus Christ is the beginning on earth to fulfill that plan of salvation for absolutely lost sinners. Glory to God in the highest. That should be what echoes from our heart this morning. But the angels sang more. And so we go to the second thought. The birth of Jesus Christ and the song of angels. And the second thing is it teaches us about peace to men. Peace to men. Luke 2 verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. The birth of Jesus Christ teaches us about peace. There is no other way of peace, congregation. What is peace? Why is peace needed? Yes, we need peace, and peace is needed. Why is there peace? And maybe you ask or are thinking about peace. Maybe you'd like to have peace in Canada. We could be thankful there is peace. And yet, is there really peace? There's a war going on. There's a spiritual battle against the powers of darkness and wickedness, and we feel it because we live in it. And in the world, maybe you also pray for peace. There's so many wars and rumors of wars. But this is a different peace, congregation. This is the most profound depth of peace. The angels sing of peace on earth. Peace through the Son of God. Peace through him who became flesh. Why do we need peace, children? Are we all living at peace with God? By nature, we're at war with God. We're born as sinners, enemies, under wrath, and against God. Sin offends the highest majesty in heaven. Sin causes a separation from God, causes him to hide his face, as we read in Isaiah. And there is no peace by nature. We're at war with God. There's a separation. As sinners, we come short of the glory of God. Our sin offends the majesty in heaven, offends the Almighty God. And God is infinite holy and infinitely righteous and cannot be at peace with sinners. That is absolutely impossible. Is that your experience? Is that your experience? Or are you just at peace in this world, not seeking for peace, not seeing that you're guilty under the wrath of God, not longing by God's grace, hungering and thirsting for righteousness to have peace with God? For God to have peace with sinners, those sinners must be absolutely perfectly righteous. And they must pay because they have guilt. God's justice must be satisfied. For God to have peace with man, man must be righteous. Man must be according to his image that he made us, perfect, sinless, holy. Are you righteous? Are you perfect? And then there's another question. Can you pay for your sin? Or have you been taught by the Holy Spirit your sin? You're unrighteous? All my righteousness are nothing but filthy rags? And I need to pay a price? And I have nothing to pay because all I can bring forth is sin? Peace on earth. What's the way, congregation? What's the only way for peace? The angels sang it, peace on earth. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the manger. They saw the Son of God was born. They saw the one who came to obey the law. They saw the one who came to fulfill the law. They saw the one who came to pay. He came in the flesh to live forever. No, he came because he wanted a body to give it as a sacrifice. Over the cross or over the manger is the already the shadow of the cross. The angel saw the Lord Jesus Christ who came to fulfill that righteousness which no sinner has. And they saw he came in the flesh to live to the law. He saw they came to also to pay. And they sang because they saw that through this child there will be a righteousness by his perfect obedience. And through this child there will be a payment, a perfect payment that would satisfy the justice of God, opening the way again for peace, true peace, profound peace, peace that you cannot find in yourself with anything and everything you do, with all your experiences, with all your Bible texts, with everything you have, with all your zeal. It's not to be found in self. It's only to be found in him, through his merits, through this babe in the manger, through him who lived and gave everything. Jesus was born. He was given and he willfully came so that there would be and is a way of peace. Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9 verse 6. And Paul wrote about him in Ephesians 2 verse 17. He is our peace. He is our peace. God is a consuming fire outside of his Son. All who are outside of his Son, not covered by his righteousness, not washed by his blood, God is a consuming fire. But those that are in him, who've been born again, who have received the grace of repentance and faith, and have fled to him as an only hope, as a poor, lost, guilty beggar, hiding under his wings, looking up to him, needing everything from him, there's peace. Peace. Listen. You, poor sinner, remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples? In John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. No, that's not peace. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The angels sing about peace. What type of a peace really is this? There's wars in the world, and sometimes there comes peace. But again, that war can start at any moment on the slightest thing, war again. And so that peace is absolutely unstable. But this peace that the angels are singing about is a peace that passeth all understanding. When you experience a little something of this peace with God, your heart cannot understand it. It's such a great peace. The angels are singing about the most profound, perfect, precious peace that could ever be found. This peace does not only take away the wrath of God, but it does more. It does more. What more? They experience communion with God. They experience favor with God through peace, through that peace that is in Jesus Christ. God, through his Son, as a sinner who he can only look upon with wrath, can look upon that sinner and there can be peace, there can be favor, there can be communion. This peace cannot be found in anything in self or anything of the world. Congregation, this peace can only be found in his Son, in this babe, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through him. When can this peace be experienced? When? Let's listen to the song again from the angels. Peace on earth. What does this tell us? You say peace in its fullness is coming in heaven. absolutely true. But we learn from the song that already there is peace through the Lord Jesus Christ for poor, lost sinners by faith in Him. There's peace. Are you looking for peace? Or maybe you say, no, I'm not looking for peace. Why is that, my friend? Why are you not looking with peace for God? You know why it is? Because you don't see the separation. Because you don't see really who you are. Your eyes are blind. Yes, you know it here, but you have never felt it here. You've never felt that separation. No love, no longing, no hunger, no thirst. You don't even desire to look into the manger because you don't need peace with God. But God teaches a separation. And God's people, poor, needy sinners, long to have peace with God against whom they have sinned. They long that He could smile upon them, peace, because that's everything, that's life. My friend, do you long for peace? Are you seeking for peace? Where are you seeking peace? Where are you seeking for peace for your soul? There's only one place. It's in Him. Him who came to this world. Who humbled Himself, who came in the flesh, the Son of God, who came. He came so low. He gave Himself as a sacrifice. He gave Himself as that Lamb of God to obtain peace, to merit peace for those who have only declared war against God. What a wonder. What a wonder. We should sing, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. All glory to God because it comes from Him. It's given by Him for those who deserve nothing but wrath. It's by faith. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, how is it with your heart? Is your heart like that manger? Room for Christ? Or is your heart like that inn? No room. Is your heart like that inn? May I ask you this morning, be honest. Go on your knees when you come home and confess it to the Lord and tell Him, I came to church and I've been to church. I've heard the story so many times, but my heart is still like the inn. And Lord, that heart is so hard. I can't change it. It just gets harder and harder and harder. But Lord, Thou hast the power. I've heard it from Thy word. From Ezekiel 36. And you may open the word there. And you may point to that word. And you may beg Him and say, Lord, I read here that Thou hast the power to take away a heart of stone and to give a heart of flesh. Lord, change my heart. And do not let Him rest. Wrestle with Him. Beg Him until He blesses you with grace. And children of God, do you know something also of peace? Maybe you saw a little hope just that a Savior was born. That became such good news to you. But have you also tasted something of that real peace with God? Peace with God. And it could be experienced now on earth already by God's grace, by faith in that only Savior. Open the Bible. Seek for Him. Search for Him. And through Him, you will find peace. Through Him. Let us sing now at the end of these first 2 points. Psalter 76, stanzas 1 and 4. 76, stanzas 1 and 4. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and strength and dominion accord. Ascribe to Him glory and render Him honor. In beauty of holiness, worship the Lord. Psalter 76, stanzas 1 and 4.
Thank you.
birth of Jesus Christ and the song of the angels. We've considered glory to God, peace on earth, and now the third thought, the love of God. The angels sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The angels sang about goodwill to men. What does that mean? What does that mean, congregation, that they were singing goodwill to men? Glory to God, peace on earth, and goodwill to men. Well, the same Greek word is used in Ephesians 1 verse 5 to explain the reason why God adopted absolutely unworthy sinners. What was the reason? What was the reason that God chose sinners? What do we read? According to the good pleasure of his will. What does goodwill mean? It's the same as good pleasure. It means having delight in someone, having favor upon someone. It's love. Free and sovereign love. It's God's sovereign love. The angels were singing of God's love to men. The angels were praising God for his sovereign love to absolutely unworthy, hell-worthy sinners, which brings glory to his name and brings peace to man. The song is a most perfect song. It's all connected. The goodwill of God to sinners is only through this babe in the manger, through his son. There is no other way of God to love a sinner except through his son. He chose them in his son. He seeks them through his son. And he can love them through his son. Sinner, the only way for you to experience the love of God is through the precious Lord Jesus Christ, who was given, who came into the world, who was born in the flesh. The manger in Bethlehem displays the love of God. The manger in Bethlehem explains the heart of God. God, a God of love. God's love is an eternal love. It began in eternity, and it will end in eternity. The love is greater than all the sins and the rebellion of his people. This love is an unconditional love. We love other people because they love us. If you do something nice to me, sure, I'll love you. That's us with our human, as a human being. But why? How could God ever love wretched sinners? It's because his love is an infinite love. His love is agape, that most beautiful, full word of Greek for love. That's the most highest love. Nothing can surpass that love. It's wider than the ocean. It's from eternity to eternity. Goodwill toward men. God in love chose unworthy sinners to be objects of his love. And God sent his only beloved son, his son, who was the object of his eternal love, ever his delight. He sent him into the world because he loves sinners. He loves his dear people so much, and he wants them forever to be around his throne, singing glory to him forever. And in his love, he sent his son to be that substitute for those who have nothing but sin, nothing but guilt, who have their flesh, and that flesh that clings to wretched ones, unworthy ones. Jesus Christ came in love, to take upon himself a human body. He came in love to give his blood, to satisfy the justice of God. The hope, congregation, is all flows through the love of God. God would be just if he would destroy everyone. But he has no pleasure. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Holy Spirit in love regenerates sinner and conforms him to the image of his Son. The gospel is all about the undeserved, the infinite love of a triune God, the love of God the Father, the love of God the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit. But maybe your question this morning is in your heart. How could God ever love me? Is that your question? How could God ever love me? How could God ever love such a rebellious, such a stubborn, such a sinner, such a wicked sinner, such a sinner with grace who continues to sin? How? It's only through his Son. The answer is in the manger, congregation. It's in that babe who grew to be a man, who fulfilled the law, who gave himself, who gave everything. It's through Jesus Christ. Seek it. Seek grace through Jesus Christ. Seek love. Seek peace. Seek through joy. Seek everything through the Son of God. The angels looked down upon the Savior Jesus Christ, and they sang of the love of God, goodwill to men. No, it wasn't for fallen angels. Those angels that rebelled would not never ever be saved. There's no hope for them. But there's hope for lost, sinful boys, sinful girls, sinful teenagers, sinful adults, men, women, wicked sinners, because of the love of God. They sang of the unconditional, sovereign love of God. How great does God love his dear people? How great? May I ask you, how deep and profound and great does God love his dear people? God loves his own dear people as he loves his Son. You say, really? God can love his people who are so sinful, so wretched, he can love them as his own Son? No, that's not possible. Yes. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John 17, verse 23. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Did you hear it? And love them as thou hast loved me. What a love. What a love for wretched sinners. That manger, that babe, that Son of God, the Word became flesh. It should echo in our hearts, congregation. Glory to God in the highest. And through him, there's peace for enemies, for rebels, through those who have proclaimed war against him, but who are, by God's grace, renewed by his irresistible grace, and become lost, do repent, and do believe by the gift of faith, and flee unto him, to hide under him. What a wonder. There's love. Love. Love flows from God the Father through his Son, and they experience by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we love him first because he first loved us. And then they want to live. Not only singing, not only join a church choir, but they want to live for his glory, for his honor. That becomes their life. And their sorrow is they don't live that way. They're so wretched, so sinful. And sometimes it's so bad, so wicked, again, so filled with sin, that they even must complain. Where's Christmas? Where's Christmas in my heart? Where's that wonder? Where's that love? Where's that adoration? Where's that zeal for the glory and for the love of God? He's so worthy. Oh, what a wretch. What a sinner. What a sinner. The angels sang. They sang. And we will all be using our mouths to a never-ending eternity. Congregation, we will either, by God's grace, join and that heavenly choir forever singing, glory, glory to God in the highest, casting our crowns at his feet, all to him, all because of his grace, all because of his love, all through him that purchased, that peace, that way, that I have closed with my sin. It'll be amazing wonder of amazing grace, or we will forever be using our mouth cursing God. What a horrible thing. Congregation, seek life. Seek life through him who's in the manger. Seek life in the triune God. Seek him, and he shall find life. And if you find him, then you will live as the angel, as the shepherds, glorifying and praising him. That will be the desire. And when you do not live that way, you will feel it if it's well. Sorrow because of your sin and a longing. Lord, conform me, sanctify, make me as holy as a sinner can be. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, a few words about the wonders of thy grace. But Lord, wilt thou richly bless it and give a truly blessed Christmas. Oh, what love, what mercy, what grace for unworthy, wretched sinners. Lord, we beg thee, work irresistibly with thy Holy Spirit. Give life to those who are yet dead, and stir up that life of thy dear people, that we may truly sing what the angels sing with our hearts in faith to glorify thee. Keep us in this day, may we ask, Lord, that we may return this evening to hear again of the wonders of thy grace through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Give much prayer, give much opening, and bless it for thy honor, for thy glory, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close with singing from Psalter 408, all stanzas, and then we also sing for doxology, the first doxology that you can find in the back of your Psalter, praise God from whom all blessings flow. So first, Psalter 408, all three stanzas. Ye who his temple throng, Jehovah's praise prolong, new anthems sing, ye saints with joy declare your Maker's loving care, and let the children their joy in their King. 408, and after that, the doxology. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.